Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today. Thank you, everyone who came today. And just we're in a place of receiving what the Lord was doing. You know, here at the Well, we just want to be in a place where we're letting the Holy Spirit orchestrate things. And sometimes things don't go as we plan. But we just want to be in that place where we're just moving in the rhythm that He is setting. And I just really want all of us to have intentional hearts that when we walk out of this place, that we are going to see differently and hear because we've been in a new place with our Heavenly Father. When we're with Him, we behold Him. And the more we're with Him, the more we just become like Him because He's our Father. And the more it comes out naturally out of us, naturally being with our Father, talking like our Father, moving like our Father. Just like in the physical sense, I'm sure a lot of us know if we have kids, we'll see our kids do something like our husbands, or we know growing up, maybe our brother or sister did things like, you know, they remember from their parents. It's that natural thing in the spirit. When we're with our Heavenly Father, we just naturally become like Him and move like Him. So I just pray that over all of us, Lord, that we would just become more like You from glory to glory, Lord, and that it would just naturally come out of us, that there wouldn't be a striving, but there would be a clarity in it. And when You do tell us to step out, Lord, that we wouldn't let our fear keep us from moving out and doing what You've called us to do. Peggy Jones is coming next week. How many of you have been here for Peggy Jones before? Okay, so what I love about Peggy is she flows in the prophetic. And what I love about her is she just quietly just lays these truth bombs out that are in the spirit, and she just says what the Holy Spirit's saying in just this beautiful, quiet way, and you're like, whoa, that was pretty profound. And she's just very, she has an amazing balance of just having that pastoral, beautiful, sweet spirit. I can't even explain it, but for everyone who's here and people who might be hearing, I don't know if these announcements are going to be recorded, but if they are, come to Peggy Jones next week, and you will leave there feeling more encouraged in what the Lord's called you to do. Also, we're doing an amazing thing that the Lord has shown the leaders here to do, pre-service prayer before church, and we're showing up a half hour before. I know it was a little crazy with springing forward this morning, but everyone is welcome to come in there 30 minutes before and just linger and hear what the Lord's saying. It really sets us up into a place of unity where we're all hearing from the Lord moving into the service. We're also doing ministry after service, so if you've come here and during service the Lord just really moved in your heart and you just, you know, you hear the speaker speak, the Lord's moving in your heart just to receive some prayer, go into that room right after and there will be someone that will pray for you. We're doing Proverbs in March as well. This is something where we're reading through the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is amazing because there's so many little tidbits. Sometimes there's like a truth in one verse and you just want to like soak on that one verse. And I think it's an amazing book. There's so many things of wisdom, practical, spiritual, that we can live by. So we're all doing Proverbs in March where we read at our own pace. And I encourage all of us to do that. If the Lord shows you something in a verse, message the Well, let them know what the Lord's showing you, because we all have a piece. Every single one of us in this space has a piece, and we need each other to complete what the Lord's doing. All right, so I'm going to now pray over the offering, which is back there under the tithes and offering sign. All right, so I'm going to just pray over every single person in this room. Lord, thank You so much. Thank You so much. We are so grateful for You because there's things happening that You're doing that we don't even know yet. You have plans that are in place for our future, to give us a hope and a future, Lord God. And we want to lock into that. And we're done just being distracted and hearing lies from the enemy that there is not an abundance. There is not a supply for us. We're not going to have enough money. These are all lies. And I just pray right now for an influx of abundance in these families, Lord. Not just abundance of funds, but abundance of relations in the family, Lord God. And I just keep on feeling that the Lord wants to increase, deepen relationships within family structures. So, Lord, I just speak your abundance, but also I pray that we'd be stewards of what you are showing us, Lord, that we would be partnering with you, not just saying, Lord, just let it fall into my lap, Lord, that we would partner with you in stepping forward and being a partner in what you're calling us to do. And I just pray that over every single person here, Lord God, for their funds and also, Lord, their bills, Lord, but also, Lord, for the money that comes into this house of worship right now, Lord, this family, Lord, that you would multiply it. We have seen some recent amazing things, Lord, and we need to continue to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor Dave, come on up.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I'm glad you all made it, that our times were all synced together. We all changed our clocks. Can you imagine how out of sync you would be with the rest of the world, or at least the rest of this area that does change the clocks, if you didn't do that? And I want to share a little something. It's not in my notes, but to remind us how important it is not to only be in sync with the world's time, but also with God's time. A little bit later, we're going to be looking at the account in Numbers where the spies went into the promised land, and then they brought back a bad report, and it turned out that the nation of Israel didn't go in to the promised land as they were instructed to. The thing about it is that caused them to spend 40 years in the wilderness, but the thing I want to point out today is that the very next day they felt bad about what they had done, that they had rebelled against God, and then they decided that they were going to go in and try and take the land on their own, even though God hadn't instructed them. And guess what? They got beat. So they tried to do the right thing, but it was not God's time. It was the wrong time. So it's that important for us, not only to know God's will and to hear his voice, but to be in sync with his time. And we've talked then that we're reading through Proverbs this month, and I thought it might be helpful for us to look into some of where some of the wisdom from Proverbs came from. And so this comes from 1 Kings 3, 5 through 14. And it says this, it says, "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, 'Ask what you wish me to give you.' Then Solomon said, 'You have shown great faithfulness to your servant David, my father. According as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great faithfulness, that you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am like a little boy. I do not know how to go out or how to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is capable of judging this great people of yours?' Now it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself a long life, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself a discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before, nor shall one like you arise after you.'" So God gave Solomon wisdom that would be beyond compare to anybody that ever was or ever will be. He says, "I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you for all your days." Solomon's wisdom was a God-given wisdom. It wasn't didn't come to him through the study of human knowledge. He didn't receive it from a book or from instruction of man, but rather it was a gift from God. So I want us then to look a little bit and see what this God-given wisdom, this one who had the God-given wisdom, such as there never will be again, says about the wisdom from the Word. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7 begins and says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and integrity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise person will hear and increase in learning, and a person of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And what Solomon says here points out the foundational problem with human knowledge. Knowledge that does not acknowledge God has no foundation or beginning. True knowledge begins with God. How many of you have known someone that might be a highly intelligent person, might be highly educated, might be full of knowledge, but has no common sense at all? We all know some of those. Hopefully we are not those. And knowledge without common sense isn't really very beneficial for living. It doesn't help us much in life. Wisdom combines knowledge with common sense and applies it to our lives. We are to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and integrity. Wisdom affects our behavior, not just what we know, but what we do. Even regarding the Bible, there's a lot of people that study the Bible just to gain knowledge. They use exegesis and hermeneutics. They do in-depth word studies in Greek and in Hebrew. And you know, knowledge of the Word is good. It's important. But it's wisdom from the Word that's even better for us. Wisdom involves applying the knowledge of the Word to our behavior. Even more than knowing the Bible, it's important that we know the author of the Bible. It's been said by some that the distance between heaven and hell is just 18 inches, the distance from the head to the heart. And knowledge and wisdom are separated by that same distance. We can know it up here, but if we don't have it here, it really does us no good. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Those that only know the word but don't do it, they're self-deceived. And now for those that have been with us for some time, Romans 12:2 will be a very familiar verse. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." And there's a companion verse that we kind of linked with that in Romans 10:17. It says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." For us then, the key is that we hear the word so that our minds are renewed, and then we apply the knowledge of Scripture with the wisdom of God. Our hearts become aligned with God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Many of you may remember that a little while back we focused on making declarations from the Word over our lives. You might have the sheets yet that we were given to help us with some of these declarations. Knowing the truth and even declaring the truth, though, is not enough. We need to apply the truth to our lives, practicing the truth in our lives. In Psalm 37:3, David, a man after God's own heart. That's what God said about David. So when we look at the words that David says, we're looking into the heart of God. And David says in 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Practicing and applying God's word to our lives is how we cultivate and grow faithfulness in our lives. How many of you know that it does take practice to apply God's word? It's not something that we just make a decision to do. We don't just decide to believe. We don't just decide that we're going to understand that truth. It's necessary that we continually cultivate that faithfulness to apply what we believe to our lives. And then as we move, I want to look at an example from Scripture of the importance of applying God's wisdom in our lives. And again, it comes from Proverbs. It's 18:21. A very familiar proverb. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And as I said, we're going to look at the account in Numbers 13, beginning at the first verse. And this is the account when the nation of Israel had been led out of Egypt by God, and he was going to take them directly into the promised land. That was the original plan that he had. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out men for yourself to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of his father's tribes, and everyone a leader among them. And we skip down to verse 17 then. When Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there into the Negev, and then go up into the hill country, and see what the land is like, and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and how is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are the people in open camps or in fortifications? How is the land? Is it productive or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Show yourselves courageous and get some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness. Then they came from the valley of Eshcol, and from there they cut off a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men, and with some of the pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster which the sons of Israel cut off from there. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, they went on and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, so that reported to him and said, we came into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And indeed, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and Amalek, and living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea, by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will certainly prevail over it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people because they're too strong for us. So they brought a bad report of the land which they had spied out to the sons of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are people of great stature. We saw the Nephilim there. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. And, you know, we traditionally think about that the spies giving this bad report, they kind of become the villains of the story, because they get blamed for the fact that Israel didn't go up and take possession of the land. But remember, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. When we look at the account again, and when we hear the charge that Moses gave to the men. He said, go up there, then go up into the hill country, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and how is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are the people in open camps or in fortifications? How is the land? Is it productive or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Is it possible that Moses himself bore some of the responsibility for the bad report that the spies ended up giving? How can that be, you might say? Moses didn't give a report. How could he be responsible? But didn't God already say that the land was good and productive? He said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. God had already promised that he was going to give them the land, that he would give them the land. Did Moses possibly plant seeds of doubt by asking them to check out how the land was and what the inhabitants were like, rather than encouraging them to walk to the promised land in faith? Did the spies respond negatively to those seeds of doubt that were planted and allow fear to grow? What was the result? We know that the Israelites ended up rebelling and didn't go in to take possession of the land. Numbers 14, 21 to 26. God says, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Certainly all the people who have seen my glory and the signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers. Nor shall any of those who were disrespectful to me see it. But as for my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Now the Amalekites and Canaanites live in the valleys. Turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And so the nation of Israel's journey in the wilderness began. And what was the result? An entire generation of Israelites ended up dying in the wilderness as a result of their rebellion and as a result of the bad report. You know, the last time I shared, we talked a little bit and looked at how our actions can have consequences. Even though we're forgiven, the actions and decisions we make can have consequences that affect both ourselves and others, even for generations. And today we can see that our words can also have those same types of consequences. Indeed, the tongue has the power of life and death. How often do we speak words based on our emotions, our feelings, or our perception of the circumstances that are going on in our lives? And particularly, it sometimes happens that we are that much more emotional and based on feelings around the ones we love. How often might we, like Moses, add to what God actually said? We want to give a little more information. We want to try and help people by telling them more. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus says this: I tell you that for every careless word people speak, they will give an account for it on Judgment Day. How often might we speak careless words? Again, especially to those we love, those we work with, and those we interact with on a regular basis. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 141:3. He says, set a guard, Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Can we say amen? May our words be words of faith and of life. And so I want to challenge us today that as we read through Proverbs this month, that we not read it just to complete the challenge, but rather to apply the truth and wisdom that God reveals in the Word to our lives. And this is really true of all Scripture. When we read Scripture, we don't want to just gain knowledge. We want to gain wisdom and apply it to our lives. It's more important, and Kat said it too. She said that sometimes there might be just one verse that just really stands out to you. And it's more important that we gain wisdom from one verse than that we gain the knowledge of the whole book. So I want to challenge us this week and the rest of this month to cultivate faithfulness as we practice what we learn from the Word. And I'm going to pray a prayer that's based on what Solomon said at the beginning of Proverbs, with just a few changes. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and precious Holy Spirit, may we know wisdom and instruction. May we discern the sayings of understanding, receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and integrity. May we give prudence to the naive and to youth the knowledge and discretion. May we, as wise people, hear and increase in learning. And as people of understanding, acquire wise counsel. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, may we not be fools and despise wisdom and instruction. Amen. 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 Go or stay and fellowship. Have a great week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking away. Digging a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm digging